The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Gary joins me now. It's open phone time on Find Your Phone Friday, May 3rd. Hey, Gary, what's on your mind? Had something to do with the lineman conversation I had with Mr. Z on Thursday's show. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I wanted to add that I thought it was interesting last summer during the Smith River Complex fire that the transmission lines in the Crescent City, which is a PP&L, Crescent City was out of power for 4 to 5 days, and then PP&L brought in giant generators to each substation throughout around the neighborhoods of the Crescent City area there.
I remember that.
Little by little.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they ran those for 2 or 3 weeks, and we're going burning thousands of gallons of diesel a day, and you wouldn't even know going through town at night that they didn't even have power because of the generators that PP&L brought in to. I thought that was really interesting.
Well, they were doing a good job trying to perform that public service. And I remember, wasn't that because that the fire was burning through the Smith River Canyon, if I recall, and the challenge was that you didn't want to rely, you couldn't rely on those. You had to de-energize those lines. Wasn't that what happened, if I recall correctly?
Well, both, yeah. It was right in the middle of the fire, and they de-energized them for safety of the firefighters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that can really ruin your day, couldn't it, Gary, right?
Yeah, and then he talked about redundancy, and it's Brookings is on a completely separate system, so Crescent City was down and Brookings was unaffected.
Yeah.
And then vice versa the other way. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, too. What I would be curious about is I know that so much of this infrastructure was built back in the 1940s and the 1950s, and sometimes in some cases, like Mr. Z was talking about, even earlier than that. I wonder what it would cost, and I'm just spitballing, what it would cost to actually take a lot of what's above ground through the forests and put it underground. Wouldn't that be something? You know, put it underground instead of having it above? Then we wouldn't care about the fires, you know?
They're talking about trying to do that in Gold Beach just to beautify the town because they got those above ground hideous lines all up and down 101 through the middle of town.
Yeah, I know that. I remember someone telling me, and like I said, I don't have the big numbers, but I was told it was sometimes 10 times as expensive, though, to put that underground. Have you heard that? Is that the right number? Have you heard?
Oh, I don't have any idea. I know that they want to do it real bad, but I don't know if they can ever find the funding.
Yeah. Now, in my neighborhood, where I live, Gary, is underground utilities, underground power lines. There are power lines out on the Delta Water Speedway, but in our subdivision, for some reason, they're all underground. And that works pretty well for the most part. The only thing, though, is when your cables go bad, it's a little harder to get to it. That's all I'd say.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, all of those Spectrum cable stuff put back into the 1980s, a lot of that is failing for them right now. I know they're having to go through there. Hey, I appreciate the call, and thanks for checking in, and appreciate you listening, too. 12 minutes after 8. If you're on hold, I'll get right to you here. It's Find Your Phone Friday. Anything that's on your mind, you can join in. And before we take off this morning, too, we'll have a Diner 62 quiz. But not right now. Not right now. So don't call for the Diner 62 quiz, but just know it is going to be coming.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority in post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Johnson Builders will be at the Southern Oregon Home Show Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and they're looking forward to talking to you about your property and the building you need. Garages, shops, barns, residential, there's no limit with Johnson Builders' affordable post and frame construction expertise. So stop by the Johnson Builders booth at the Home Show and talk to the custom engineered building experts about all of the possibilities at special Home Show pricing. Visit Johnson.Builders and give them a call.
Johnson Builders, building for your future.
Severe storms like the one in Willamette Valley this winter should make property owners take stock in tree safety. Hi, this is Jeff with Quality Tree Service. Dead or weak limbs or unstable, old trees can cause property damage and worse. If you have trees that you think may pose a problem, please have them evaluated. At Quality Tree Service, we love trees, but some may need maintenance or removal. Call me today, your ISA certified arborist, and I will provide an honest assessment of potential hazards. Visit QualityTreeServiceMedford.com.
American Industrial Door is at the Home Show this weekend and is ready to talk to you about garage doors and openers. Whether you're looking to replace your door, want to upgrade your opener with a dazzling array of technology for convenience and security, or just have questions about service and repair, they're looking forward to talking to you. You can also see samples of all the latest colors, textures, and styles of doors to transform the look of your home. American Industrial Door is at the Jackson County Expo this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. See you at the show.
Americans have flatly rejected electric vehicles, and the worst is yet to come. I'm Kim Komando, brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Post a job for free and find qualified candidates quickly at LinkedIn.com/Kim. There's a new compelling reason to reject EVs. It's an open secret that manufacturers, dealers, and the government will never tell you. An EV will need a complete battery replacement about 8 years after it was manufactured. That's when the battery no longer holds a charge. The car's already limited range will decrease even more each day as the battery slowly decays. All the while, the EV's value is slipping to zero. Here's an example. BMW's i3 is about $31,000 new. After 8 years, you'd be lucky to get $17,000 for it used, even with a new battery. But get this, that new battery will cost you $27,000. As I said, this is just one example. Some are better, but some are even worse. All new cars collect data. Some sell yours to insurance companies. I cover topics like this in my free newsletter at getkim.com. When hiring for a small business, you want quality professionals who are right for the role and your team. That's why I use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to find the right people for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn is not just another job board. You get access to LinkedIn's vast network of more than a billion professionals, many of whom you won't find anywhere else. That's why it's simply the best place to hire. LinkedIn does all that while making the process simple and intuitive. Hiring is easy when you have that many quality candidates. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. LinkedIn knows that as a small business, you might not have the time or resources to spend on hiring. That's why LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make it simpler, like the new feature to help write job descriptions. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Kim. That's LinkedIn.com/Kim to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. That's LinkedIn.com/Kim.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
8:16.
I am a lineman for the county.
Many people writing me are still talking about the conversation with the lineman yesterday, Mr. Z, and actually posting some interesting questions here, too. But people wanted to weigh in on what I was talking about just a moment ago about underground utilities. And let me go to, I think it is, let's see. Is it, this is Steve, right? Steve again?
Yep.
Okay.
Steve again.
Yeah, give me the take one because you were talking about the science involved of actually putting the lines underground. There's a problem with that? Go ahead.
Well, the problem is, especially those high voltage lines, 20-something thousand volts,
mm-hmm.
those lines, as the power goes through them at 60,000 times a second, changing polarity.
Yeah, 60 cycles.
There is an expanding and contracting magnetic field that follows those the electrical current. And if you put those in the ground is going to absorb a large part of the energy. So it's really impractical to transport long-distance energy by burying it.
That's really interesting. Okay, I hadn't thought about that. In essence, the high voltage becomes it's inductively coupled like a transformer underground. And it's different, though, for like just going into my subdivision with a 220 or 240,
yes.
Right? That kind of thing.
Yes.
All right.
Only going a short distance.
Yeah, all right. It's an interesting point. I had not considered that, but thank you for that. Dave, you actually used to do line work, too. Go ahead, Dave. What were you thinking?
And I've worked on transmission lines, and some of them are 500,000 watts with 500,000 amps. And now they do it in New York, but they're in big concrete troughs, and they don't run that long. Like what Steve was saying, The longer you run it, see, remember, every 60 miles, you have to have two substations for a transmission line to go in so they can boost and regulate the power. You have big condensers on them. I've worked on those. And so and then you got the cost of what it would cost to blow the rock out and put troughs in.
And you can only imagine what the environmental community would say about blowing lots of rock out of Mother Earth, right?
Right.
Okay.
It would be a nightmare, and it would take a long time to do it, where you can put up towers in a relatively short period of time compared to digging and then pouring concrete troughs in.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for that. All right. So I will stand corrected on that. So much for that. Not going to happen. All right. Appreciate the call there, Miner Dave. All right. Mike Pelfrey's here. Oh, boy, Mike, your ears must have been burning. What was going on earlier today? I was talking about a Scott Stoddard editorial. And you have been named.
Go ahead.
You have been named, I guess, right? What's up?
Yeah, I've been named. I'm going to say that part of what was written was probably accurate. I will admit 1,000% but the part that I won't admit to is the fact that they said that I was screaming as I was leaving, saying that to vote Noah Robinson. I can assure you that it wasn't screaming.
All right. So you did go like Scott was reporting or in his editorial about. So you went to Christine Goodwin's deal, Christine Goodwin's campaign situation in Rogue River, right? Rogue River the other day, last weekend, right?
Well, it wasn't in Rogue River. It was at the Rogue Roasters coffee shop, and it was on Saturday. I had been manning the booth Saturday morning alongside several other patriots putting out the information about the charter.
Yeah.
And so I was doing my civic duty that morning, and then on the way to the Patriots conference, I stopped by Christine Goodwin's event, and I walked in. I can say that there was probably maybe 20 people at the most at the event. But I can tell you that what was described is absolutely inaccurate.
So okay, well, what do you say was inaccurate then? Because, essentially, I guess we're talking about this is what how Scott started it off with. The man practicing the most noxious and repugnant brand of politics in Grants Pass struck again Saturday. And that's a pretty strong statement.
But you also got to remember where that statement's coming from. You know, Scott Stoddard is not a, I would say he's not a true editor, because he never prints both sides of the story. He only prints his side of the story, and that is something that we've known for a very long time. Yes, he'll throw in an article from Larry West, but Larry West is a rhino. I can tell you that when I went to her event, I stood there very politely, and what I asked Christine, when she asked for comments from the public, I offered to Christine Goodwin, I said, Christine, here's the deal. Why don't you host one of these events out at your home, Canyonville, that you are running in this district from an address standpoint? I said, why? That would easily put to sleep a lot of the unknowns about her address. I even offered, and again, I said this very, very calmly. I said, Christine, if you'll host an event, I will gladly pay for it. And then
now you're one of the people, of course, that is involved with a suit, right? The lawsuit against about this issue. Isn't that the case?
That is correct.
All right.
That is correct. Because you've had her on your own show, and you've even had questions about her address. And, of course, you saw how she was attempting to control the conversation, which is what polished politicians do. And in this particular case, as I said, I offered to host this event. She very quickly switched subjects. And then I also asked her about her endorsement via the OregonGunRights.org website that just suspiciously has popped up in the last few days. And she immediately tried to defend that. And then what ended up happening was several of the individuals that were at her event were yelling at me. I was very calm. I did not cause any type of disruption, but I will tell you, I'm not the kind of person that is going to sit back and allow someone to yell at me, and I'm not going to put my two cents into the table, because That is just my personality.
Okay, now, did you yell at that point? So I just want to find out, because they're claiming that you were rude and yelling, vote Noah Robinson on the way out. You deny that?
Absolutely, I do not deny that. But I. But
oh, you do not deny that.
No, I do not deny that.
Okay,
I said to vote Noah Robinson, but what I do deny is the fact that they're saying that I was screaming at the top of my lungs saying that. That is not correct. And then I'd also like to say that the people from the Rogue Roasters, before I ever even opened my mouth, they had already come to Christine because she had a little speaker with her and she had a microphone, and they were actually a little disturbed that she was being a little loud in the room. You know, it's not a very large coffee shop. So they had already given her, I would call it a warning. And then from there, she kind of toned it down a little bit. And then that's when she asked for questions from the audience. And of course, I asked my questions, but I did it, again, in a very calm manner, in a very professional manner. But a few rhinos in the room, and there was also some Democrats in that room as well. And they decided that they were going to try to shut me and silence me. And, you know, I'm sorry, but that's not going to happen.
All right, Mike. Well, you giving your take on it, all right? And Scott's going to have his take. I get it. All right? So we're talking about a difference of opinion at this point.
We are talking about a difference in opinion, but all I would tell you, and then, you know, Scott brings up the fact that I've written emails to the city council and to the mayor. 100%. I've even challenged Scott Stoddard to put every one of my emails in his paper. I don't care. I stand behind everything that I wrote, everything that I've said, because I moved to Grants Pass in 2016, and under Mayor Bristol's leadership, this town, this city has deteriorated, and there's not a single person in this city that is not going to tell you that life in Grants Pass is better now than it was 3 or 4 years ago. It's not.
All right, Mike, I appreciate the call. Always welcome. Anyone's welcome to call. And we appreciate that very much. 770-5633, Mike Pelfrey, in the Daily Courier editorial. It's go to Bob Shan. Bob, we're going to shift it to Medford's City Council now. Is it as dysfunctional or not? I always appreciate your reporting on it. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Yeah, I attended the City of Medford Ward 3 Town Hall at the Rogue X this past Wednesday evening. Not the best location selection, as we were in court one divided by a plastic wall while active sports were going on. So I really had to attune my listening skills to focus on that rather than the beeps, bells, whistles, hoops, and hollers that were going on, a few feet
That would
away.
Seem like a strange place. I mean, nothing against Rogue X in this, but I don't know how that works out as a public meeting space when you're trying to actually pay attention to something. It doesn't make sense. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're going to have another car show there either, because, you know, when's the last time you saw 150 cars on a basketball court with a vinyl floor? They did put little plywood pads down to sort of cushion it, but I guess it left an impression. So I don't know if that'll come back there or go back to the expo.
All right. Well, tell me, what was your overall observation of the town hall?
Overall observation, they put out a nice glossy folder that hit some key issues. They had the main players there with the mayor, one counselor, Stein, John Vile, Matt Brinkley, city attorney, and of course our illustrious city manager. They hit the high points, you know, from their brochure that talked about the homeless issue. They talked about major transportation projects, and they talked about housing and landscape, and so they all gave their brief spiel. Now, it was one of the lowest turnouts of all of the ward meetings, so I don't know if Ward 3 is apathetic, disenfranchised, or everything is just wonderful, and I don't think everything is just wonderful, so not as big a turnout.
Was there anything that struck you as something to focus on for follow-up?
Yeah. Kevin Stein laid a couple Easter eggs that is of interest. Is there may be changes coming to Main Street at the end of the year, and I don't know if that's restriping or what.
In other words, the incredibly unpopular Bollard downtown, right? Is that what he's speaking
of? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they are taking comments and compiling them and trying to, you know, actually take feedback from the businesses and the people that use it or the people that don't use it.
I think that what we should do is have a contest with the city of Medford for us to be allowed to swing our sledgehammers and crush a bollard. Crush a bollard for free and easy travel downtown. What would you say?
Well, they're plastic, so you wouldn't need a sledgehammer.
Oh, they're plastic. Oh, I thought they were heavier duty than that. Okay, never mind.
No. It might damage a car if it ran into it.
All right.
But so that's an issue there. The little mini roundabout there where Rogex is, and they're going to look at possibly reconfiguring that.
That is the dumbest roundabout I've seen in town. That is the
It's pretty tough.
Yeah, and it's difficult to maneuver. And I've noticed, I can't help but notice that you'll see tire skids on it in which trucks just kind of plow through it going straight anyway. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, and the folks that live in the little enclave to the right, though they're within walking distance of the Rogue X, they still got to get to and from their home.
Yeah.
So
I think at this point, I think a light would actually be a wiser way. Not that I'm a big fan of throwing up a traffic light everywhere, but in this case, I think a light would work better. Thank you very much for the report here, Bob. Always appreciate
that. Hey, Bill. Yeah, there's lots more to come.
All right. And dribble it into the show now and then over the days, okay?
I will do that.
All right. It is 829 KMED KCMD. If you're on hold, I'll get right to your call, 770-5633. We'll try to squeeze a couple more in before we talk with Richard Emmons from the Oregon Eagle.
Mark your calendars for the 42nd Annual Southern Oregon Home Show, brought to you by the Builders Association Southern Oregon. The one place once a year with anything and everything for your home and property. It's May 3rd, 4th, and 5th at the Jackson County Expo. This event is your one-stop shop to save money on everything you need for your home and property. Almost 200 exhibitors, Southern Oregon's finest contractors, anything that you need, you'll find with expert advice and solutions for your next project. Have a fun-filled weekend with live music, a beer garden, and the involvement of local nonprofits. It's an event for the whole family. Don't miss out on this opportunity to save money and have a blast. Visit buildso.com for more information or call 541-773-2872. See you at the Southern Oregon Home Show. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Brought to you by the Builders Association Southern Oregon, the self-funding nonprofit that provides education, advocacy, and policy support to the building industry in our community.
You haven't missed your opportunity to save at Garrison's Remodeling Sale at the Crater Lake Highway Showroom. Well, I mean, the remodeling has begun, and we still have furniture to sell, so we put a giant tent in the parking lot and moved a ton of inventory outside. And we're highly motivated to sell because we don't want to move it back. Everything's marked down lower than I wanted, but hey, we got to get this furniture out of our life and into yours. The remodeling sale, inside and out, at Garrison's home on Crater Lake Highway. Garrison's.com.
Josephine County Republican Party is proud to endorse Dr. Noah Robinson for the Oregon Senate. A principled man, Robinson is chosen and supported by citizens rather than lobbyists. Dr. Noah Robinson is also endorsed by Oregon Firearm Federation, Oregon Right to Life, and many honorable senators, including Dennis Linthicum, Art Robinson, and Brian Boquist. Republicans win when they don't compromise their principles. In this critical time in Oregon history, vote for the candidate who will make a firm stand for our conservative Oregon values. Vote Dr. Noah Robinson, the citizen's choice for honest leadership, who puts truth before personal gain. Unlike his opponent, who has taken hundreds of thousands of dollars from big pharma and lobbyists, Noah's campaign is funded by the people. Josephine County Republican Party reminds you to vote Dr. Noah Robinson for Senate, a leader to reform Oregon. Paid for by the Josephine County Republican Central Committee, ID 319.
Voting is being tabulated for Bicoastal Media's Best of Southern Oregon contest, presented by Dusty's Transmissions. Results are coming soon. Meanwhile, go to bestofsouthernoregon.com and reserve your ad space in the 2024-25 edition of Best of Southern Oregon to be published in July. All the information is there, and flip through the current online magazine, too. Thank you to all who nominated and voted in this year's Best of Southern Oregon contest, and good luck to all of the 1,500 businesses who were nominated.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
Michael's here. Hello, Michael. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Bill. I didn't get a chance to call in when Mr. Z was on about the power transmission issues.
Yes.
But it got me to thinking. When we wire houses, the system has to be configured to, I think, 125% of maximum anticipated load. And I think it's reasonable to think that high voltage transmission would have this some kind of standard also. And I was wondering what that standard is and if it was still being maintained, because if it's not, like we saw in the recent Boeing events, that if the overarching route principle is being compromised, you can rest assured shortcuts are being taken all the way down the line.
You know, I'll reach out to a Pacific Corps lineman, who I do have on staff. I'm not going to share his name there, but he checks in every now and then. I'll try to find out what he has to say about that and get back to you, okay? Is that okay?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to find out.
All right. Hey, thank you very much. That's a good question. It really is. David's down in the Bay Area. Hi, David. What are you thinking?
Yeah, how are you, Bill?
Doing fine.
I heard about the town hall in Grants Pass, and are gas prices getting stupid up there? Are they crazy yet?
Well, it's not quite as stupid as it is in the Bay Area, but I think you'll be at about $4.35 to $4.50 last time I checked there, David. How does that compare for where you live?
Almost $2 higher.
Oh.
I've seen about $6.17.
Whoa.
But, just thinking about what is a true conservative, like 1776, they were wholly opposed to colonies. And any business that was going to end up sucking more money out of town or sucking more money out of the county or the region is considered a colony, colony relationship. And if Pass got their act together real quick, they'd put together a mass transit system that would go from the state line all the way up to friggin' every county. Make mass transit that really works, and local jobs, and make sure that Oregon doesn't become a colony of Saudi Arabia or Texas.
Okay. The challenge you run into, I think, David, with mass transit works best with very dense population, which is why mass transit can work so well in the Bay Area, like BART, as an example. Around Southern Oregon, gosh, it's long distances between the cities and actually kind of light population density. So that's the challenge even for mass transit that we have right now, because not a lot of business for it. But I appreciate the opinion from the Bay Area. Thanks for checking in, David. Let me go to, is it Derek? Line 3, I didn't write the name down. Who is this again? Go ahead, you're on.
Are you looking for Kirk?
Kirk, I'm sorry. I knew there was a K in there someplace, Kirk. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
Yeah. I just heard you talking a little bit about the traffic and all in Medford, and I thought it was kind of ironic. Anyway, had dinner at Pompadori yesterday. Mm-hmm. We got there at 5, left at about 6:45. Of course, that's on Main Street, right where the new bike lanes are and all.
Right.
In an hour and 45 minutes, there was not one bicycle going either direction on that. So they did a really good job spending their money.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's always about this. If we build it, they will come. That's been the whole aspect of the bicycle bum highway issue here. But what happens is that the city ends up going with the state transportation plan, and then we want to repave downtown, and the only way we can afford to pay downtown is if we take a state grant, and the state grant has strings. You know how it goes, right, Kirk? And there we go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still disgusting.
Yep, it is. And that's a mistake that was made by a past council, by the way, too. All right, and I'll grab another one here, line 4. I got to get Richard Emmons on here in just a moment. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hi, Bill. This is John.
John, hello, John.
Hi, you had Elisa Bartholomew on, who's running for DA, and she really is the law and order conservative candidate. I think she would do a tremendous job. She's a personal friend of mine. She's conservative through and through. Her husband is an attorney in Medford as well, who's a really good guy, a really good people. You know, they'll enforce the law against criminals instead of giving them the get out of jail free card.
Are you implying that Jackson County DA does not do that right now?
Correct.
You are.
I'm implying that the person that's running against her is not a conservative, is not a Republican, and does not enforce the law with some people as he should.
Okay. Duly noted. Thank you, John. It is 8:38. We'll catch up on that. Richard Emmons joins me here in just a moment. News is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Wall Street is rallying this morning following release of the April jobs report by the government, hitting the brakes on hiring, that is. Employers grew their payrolls by just 175,000 jobs. Financial markets hope it will convince the Fed to cut interest rates, perhaps in September. Flooding, the result of torrential rains, has swamped parts of southeast Texas, including Harris County, as well as the city of Houston. The flooding expected to continue into the weekend. Rainfall totals have topped more than 10 inches in some spots. Connecticut's governor hopes a stretch of I-95 in southwest Connecticut can be reopened by Monday morning. A gasoline tanker truck crashed and burned, damaging a bridge, closing I-95 at Norwalk, Connecticut. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 371 points. More details at srnnews.com.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Josephine County Republican Party is proud to endorse Dr. Noah Robinson for the Oregon Senate. A principled man, Robinson is chosen and supported by citizens rather than lobbyists. Dr. Noah Robinson is also endorsed by Oregon Firearm Federation, Oregon Right to Life, and many honorable senators, including Dennis Linthicum, Art Robinson, and Brian Boquist. Republicans win when they don't compromise their principles. In this critical time in Oregon history, vote for the candidate who will make a firm stand for our conservative Oregon values. Vote Dr. Noah Robinson, the citizen's choice for honest leadership, who puts truth before personal gain. Unlike his opponent, who has taken hundreds of thousands of dollars from big pharma and lobbyists, Noah's campaign is funded by the people. Josephine County Republican Party reminds you to vote Dr. Noah Robinson for Senate, a leader to reform Oregon. Paid for by the Josephine County Republican Central Committee, ID 319.
Are you adventure ready? Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your source for overlanding, off-road, and outdoor lifestyle products, featuring quality options for rooftop tents, racks, bumpers, winches, and recovery gear, LED lighting, dual battery systems, onboard compressors, cargo cases, coolers, and refrigerators. They also offer camp stoves, scuttles, fire pits, tables, and chairs, so you're prepared once you've reached your destination. Stop by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your department of adventure.
The People's Commissioner. Hi, this is Ron Smith, candidate for Josephine County Commissioner. So why do I say the People's Commissioner? Here's five good reasons. One, I've worked on the people's side of government over 20 years, defending our property rights, our liberties, and our freedoms from government overreach and intrusion. Two, because when you elect me, you'll get a man of integrity who will honestly listen and hear your concerns. I will never forget I work for and serve the people. Three, I'm a team player on the people's team. I'm not a politician. I'm just like you, believing in lower taxes, financial responsible, and transparent government. Four, I have no hidden agendas. I will openly work to see the people's will expressed through county government to be your voice inside government. Five, as a conservative, I am done letting politicians waste our tax dollars on nonsense while we're robbed by drifters, choked by smoke, and gouged by outrageous housing costs. Learn more at VoteRonSmith.com. Paid for by citizens to elect Ron Smith commissioner.
Welcome back to the Bill Myers Show. 106.3 KMET, 99.3 KCMD.
Received my copy in the mail the other day, Oregon Eagle, Rogue Valley Edition. And it's a whole bunch of conversation on election topics. Wouldn't that be the case? Richard Emmons, publisher and editor. Good to have you back. Welcome.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, no, it's a packed issue. It's two sections, 32 pages altogether. And a lot of news on elections and across the state. It's just a lot going on. There's a lot that people need to get plugged into and informed about.
Yeah, there really is. And what I wanted to concentrate on then is your overall impression of the charter change issues that are coming up both in Jackson and Josephine County. I've looked at this as pretty much both counties under attack by political interests. You know, this is always a political act there, but how are you seeing it playing out?
No, I'm seeing it that way. And, you know, it's funny how, I mean, there's always like perception and reality.
Right.
And, you know, there's always that tension there. But the perception, especially, you know, Josephine County, it's a brand new charter. You know, throughout the existing charter, replaced with something completely new. So there's lots of different things you could look at. Jackson County, you know, they're saying, oh, let's make them nonpartisan. Let's increase the number of commissioners from 3 to 5, and let's cut commissioner salaries, which we've already seen in Josephine County, that can't be done through a charter. So it's going to increase the cost of government. So they're doing the same thing in two different counties in different ways, but they end up just causing just more problems. You know, that's, you know, if you take an overarching look at like most of the progressive agenda of the last 100 years, it all starts with good intentions. And then they pass laws to support those intentions. And then they have, you know, negative and unexpected consequences. They just don't work. So, you know, so that's my overall take. When I look at, for instance, in Josephine County, the districts, well, it does have districts. So you have one that's elected at large, and then you have four districts. All four include Grants Pass. You know, they could have had two districts be Grants Pass and two districts be the county. So that's politicized now.
Yep.
You know, then you have the problem for candidates that have more than one home in the county. You know, they might own one home on the Rogue River, and they might have a 5-acre ranch out in the county. Well, do they get to choose which home they declare their candidacy from so they can choose their district?
So this goes back to kind of another version of the Noah Robinson, Christine Goodwin battle playing out right now, right? That kind of thing.
Exactly. So, you know, in a certain sense, it gives them, you know, an unfair advantage to people that own more than one home. And the new charter, they try to deal with this because it says that you have to live in your district home for 2 years prior to the election. And then at all times, that's quote, at all times during the 4-year term. So you're asking people, if they own more than one home, that they're going to have to swear, you know, like a legal oath that they lived in that home 2 years prior to election, then the next 4 years, and then maybe they get reelected another 4 years. So theoretically, they could go 10 years without living in their second home. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
It appears to me in both counties, I look at the charter changes, solutions in search of a problem. And it just seems to be such a power grab. And that's the problem I've had with both of them. I've made no bones about this, Richard, right from the beginning. I would just say that Jackson County, they're not putting it all. They're not going for the whole ball of wax right away. And I think that they were wiser strategically. And I'm hoping that the voters aren't fooled by the supporters' strategy here. Because they wanted to do everything but do the districts. And in Josephine County, they did the districts. And the districts are poison. They really are. All you have to do is look at what happened with Siskiyou County recently on how districts really destroy the cohesiveness of the ability of a board to be, you know, really concerned about the whole county. That's the way I'm looking at that. Did you check it out?
You're absolutely right. I mean, the fact that Selma is in a different district than Cade Junction, I mean, that's just absurd. I mean, you can't get to Cade Junction without driving through Selma.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're in two separate districts, that's just one example.
Mm. My whole idea is that we need county commissioners at our level. We don't need district commissioners in Jackson and Josephine County. We just don't, because look at what happened. There was all that mess down in the Klamath because of the dam removal there. There was only one district commissioner there because the damage happened in his district, right? And the other commissioners were kind of like, no, they don't really see the problem. No, we don't want to do an emergency declaration. No. No, that's the kind of stuff that you get with these. We don't need to be sliced and diced in smaller political boundaries or districts. And that's where I'm just looking at this. And I do find it interesting that in Jackson County, Richard, did you hear that Dave Gilmore at their latest meeting did come out and say, yeah, we were going for districts before after we get our five commissioners, but we're not going to do that now because it's too complex. I don't think I'm buying that. I don't think I'm buying that ultimately.
No, I mean they've obviously planned this out, and they're divide and conquer literally with districts here in Josephine County, but they're planning for that later. And if they increase the number of commissioners from 3 to 5, then you're going to have, new commissioners that are going to be advocating, for those districts. So they'll be cheerleading for those changes to happen. It's just one thing and then another thing. Both of the charters, espouse nonpartisanship. And I got a couple things on that. One thing that when I was putting together the April-May Oregon Eagle, someone had reported to me that the Josephine County Democrats had endorsed Mark Jones for county commissioner. So
okay.
I called up the Josephine County Democrat office and I just left a message on their answering machine with my name and my phone number, and I just asked that question. I was just calling to find out if they had endorsed Mark Jones or anyone else for county commissioner. And they're moving offices. So they moved from their old office to their new office. They lost their lease. Terrible time to lose your lease during election season. So in any event, 2 weeks later, this is just a few days ago, I get a call back from Vicki from their office. And what she told me is that because the county commissioner races are nonpartisan, we do not endorse any candidate. But we do strongly support Mark Jones and Pat Fahey. So you hide behind this nonpartisanship, but the parties will still work behind the scenes to support their candidate.
So in spite of the fact that it may be, but this is my whole complaint about this whole push of nonpartisan. The whole idea is that it goes nonpartisan and then it's all clean and sweetness and joy and, unicorns and fairies are out and playing together, because we get rid of the dirty partisanship. It's still going there. It's just hidden. And yet everybody wants all this talk about transparency through all of this. How can you be transparent when people hide their motivations and hide their allegiances, Richard? You just can't. And I think that nonpartisanship in Joe County, which has already been in their charter, has not served it well. And they're trying to do it in Jackson County. It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. And even in our current election cycle, we have two positions for county commissioner open. And, two of the nonpartisan candidates in 2024, well, they're Republicans in 2023. One threw her hat in the ring to replace Lily Morgan, and she was interviewed in front of all of the PCPs, and then the PCPs voted to recommend Dwayne Yunker to our county commissioners, and that's who they appointed. But this other person was running for a Republican seat. Another candidate was a Republican PCP in 2023, but is now proudly nonpartisan. So it's like, it's just, nonpartisan, it's almost like, in a certain sense, the people that are calling themselves nonpartisan and running on that, I mean, can they not tell the difference between the Democrat Party in Oregon and the Republican Party in Oregon? Neither party is perfect, but one party stands for life and wants to protect babies. The other one wants babies to be aborted right up to the day of birth. One party has had total control for over 10 years, so we're a sanctuary state. It's like the Democrats stand for something, and Democrats should be proud of that. And those that are Republican should proudly stand behind being a Republican. And those that can't tell the difference, well, I don't see how anybody could want to vote for one of them. At least you want to at least know what you're getting.
Yeah, well, parties are not perfect, but they are a start. It's a beginning. And even all Democrats aren't the same. I mean, look at Mark Seligman as an example in Joe County. And same with all Republicans. There are variations, but at least there are some basic differences that are worthy of preserving. So I don't think nonpartisanship has served Joe County at all, and it certainly wouldn't serve Jackson County. Hey, if you're not a subscriber to the Oregon Eagle, Can you get this this Rogue Valley edition, this special edition? Can you go buy it someplace? I'm just kind of curious how people can find out, because they should subscribe anyway. But what do you think?
I'd love for them to subscribe. We have, over the last few days, been distributing Eagles throughout, you know, Curry County, Jackson County, and Josephine County.
Okay.
If you go to OregonEagle.com, and on the top menu, you'll see locations. Just click on that, then you can choose your county, and then you can see multiple locations where we have put out, you know, over 10,000 Eagles so that, you know, people can pick them up. It's an election time. We want to get the information out there so that people can get better informed and make better decisions when they're filling out their ballots.
Always a pleasure talking with you, Richard. Richard Emmons, the publisher and editor of the Oregon Eagle, Rogue Valley Edition. And go to OregonEagle.com. So I make sure I get that right. OregonEagle.com?
Yeah, you got that.
All right.
You got that right.
All right. Thank you very much, Richard. Be well.
Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome. It's 8:54. I did promise that we were going to do the Diner 62 Real American Quiz, and I'm going to keep my promise right now. We will wrap the week up practically on that and fill in your belly. Ooh, they sent me a chicken fried steak skillet this morning. if you've ever had one of those, you're probably jealous of me right now, right? 770-5633, 770-KMED. All I ask is that you have not won this in the last 60 days. And we'll play that next.
A recent Clouser Drilling customer shares her experience.
This is Susan from Griffin Creek. And listen, if you need a new well, I want you to call Clouser Drilling right away. They were absolutely fantastic. Everything from locating the water to the drilling process itself. Their staff was top-notch, thorough, professional, on time, precise, friendly. Answered all my questions, and believe me, I had a lot of them. You won't regret it. Call Clouser Drilling.
Visit ClouserDrilling.com.
Here at American Rancher Garage, we respect and support those individuals who currently or have previously served this great country and our local communities. As a small token of our respect and appreciation for their service, we extend our Heroes discount to all active or veteran military personnel and to our active or retired first responders. There is no way to completely repay your dedication to the protection of our country and communities, but we will do what we can.
The Row Gardener, sponsored by Grange Co-op. And if you want to go organic, hey, that's great. However,
see, organic fertilizers are not ready to use by the plant. They have to be worked on by soil bacteria to break them down into a usable form. It has to be in contact with the soil. And better if it's a couple, you know, an inch or two down.
Call the Row Gardener live Saturdays 10 to noon and catch the Sunday morning encore at 9 on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
Hi, I'm Corey with Patriot Electric, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
Tonight, or today I should say, Clam Chowder Friday at Diner 62. Come on in, have a bowl, or grab some to go. Oh, I gotta tell you, two pork chops, eggs, or an 8-ounce New York steak and eggs on special right now, and you want that, or their crispy chicken sandwich, or their avocado. One way or the other, let's get you. You gotta be hungry. If you leave Diner 62 and you're still hungry, you may have a hormonal problem. Get that checked out by your doctor, okay? Selma Dave's here. Hey, Selma. Dave, how you doing? Welcome.
Hey, pretty good. How are you?
Doing great. Sunday, May 5th, 1921, Chanel No. 5 perfume debuts, okay? And Gabrielle Coco Chanel, the daughter of a clothing peddler and a laundry woman, she learned to sew in the convent where her dad sent his three daughters after the death of their mother. From these humble beginnings, she quickly established herself on the fashion scene when her lover, a wealthy textile magnate named Etienne Basson, I don't know if I got that right, but anyway, he helped her set up her first boutique. By 1921, Chanel, celebrated clothing designer and socialite known for wildly popular groundbreaking designs and for high-profile romances and larger-than-life public image. How did she start her career, though, Selma Dave? Was she a hat maker, a parasol designer, a soap maker, a cobbler, or a flapper seamstress? It's one of those five. What do you say, Selma Dave?
Hat maker.
Hat. You know, this almost never happens.
You're a winner!
First guy in actually named it. I know
that's
that
happened to me three times.
Yeah, I know that Brian is going to be very upset with me now that this has happened because he usually likes to fool people. But yeah, she started her career as a hat maker, began her fashion design career by opening a hat shop in Deauville, the seaside town in France, where she quickly became a trendsetter and expanded into apparel. And Chanel No. 5 was causing quite a stir. He would spray the perfume around the table and, according to legend, was asked about the scent by every woman who passed by. They wanted it. So there we go. Salma, Dave, hang on. You are going to Diner 62, and we'll do this again early next week.